Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to our second episode of Coming Forsyth Business Radio X, powered by Business Radio X. I'm your host, Alex Gossett-Shiflett, and we have three very special guests in the studio today. But before we get started, make sure you are connected with us on social media, Twitter at Business Radio X. Also, today's show, you can follow us at Atlanta Biz Radio, and you can connect with me personally on Twitter at Alex G. Shiflett. I'd love to hear from you, and you can check out the pictures of our guests in the studio on our website, AtlantaBusinessRadio.com. Okay, our guests in the studio today are Reuben Bowling, a professor at UNG. Welcome, Reuben.
It's good to be here.
Jimmy Lane, Vice President of Development at the Coming Forsyth Chamber of Commerce. Welcome, Jimmy.
Thank you.
And Michael Ellerman, an entrepreneur in the area of business networking. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm going to start with you, Reuben. And you are a professor at the University of North Georgia. I believe your title is Director of the Center for the Future of North Georgia.
Yes, I'm assistant professor and director for the Center for the Future of North Georgia, which is a entrepreneurship student professional development center.
And how did you find yourself at UNG?
Well, I've spent many years in business over time. I've been a consultant, an engineer, and several other things. But I decided I wanted to go into academia, so I searched out and found North Georgia. Thought it was a really, really good place. Was really impressed with what they were doing there, and so found somebody who knew somebody and got hired on there, and there it goes.
There you are. I Googled you before the interview, and I was reading up on you. Your area of expertise, entrepreneurship, small business, strategic planning, and development.
That's correct, yeah.
Tell us about the Center for Future of North Georgia. Well, what is that? Explain that to our audience.
Well, the center came out of the funding that Mike Cottrell gave to the College of Business, that's now the Mike Cottrell College of Business. One thing he asked for in that donation was that we start a thing called the Center for the Future of North Georgia. And really, it's his idea behind that was to grow the region to do it in a manner that would help families have a good quality of life. And so what we do, what we focus on, is a little bit of economic development, but primarily in the area of development of new businesses through entrepreneurship. And we do a lot of special programs designed around that, some non-academic training, as well as we put on some events such as the one that's coming up, the Started Up conference is coming up in October 4th.
Okay, tell us a little bit about the conference.
Well, the conference is unique in that we really focused on trying to build the entrepreneurial ecosystem in the area. So we've got a wide variety of folks that are coming. We have a number of high school students, university students, as well as community business folks that are going to be there to hear different entrepreneurs tell about how they got into that area. One of them started his business when he was in middle school.
Wow.
And not the kind of business where you go cut your neighbor's yard, but a real technology business, and went out and got the funding, found who they needed to do all the coding and everything else, starting in middle school. So he's got that. And then we got another couple that started their business while they were at a university in the MBA program. And then we got a couple of UNG graduates, which have been recognized as one of the fastest growing companies in the Southeast, at least. It's called Dress Up. The last one is Cho Nguyen, who is a serial entrepreneur. He is our keynote speaker serial entrepreneur who right now is coming up with a company called HireWire, and he's at the Atlanta Tech Village. So the purpose of it is to kind of expose all the people there about what's happening in the world of entrepreneurship.
And you said at the center, you guys support startup businesses. What's the craziest business you've had so far to start up?
Oh, gosh. I don't know that we've had any really, really crazy businesses, so I don't know that I could come up with anything like that. Most of them have been fairly common in what they do. So I guess one of the craziest ones would be from a technology standpoint, just trying to get to the point to where they can provide some services to students. Specifically in the area of helping them match up and do some things like that. But we really haven't had any wild and crazy kind of stuff.
Not yet. Maybe down the road. Ruben, I met you when you gave a presentation at City Hall in Columbia, and your topic was entrepreneurial ecosystems. Tell our audience what an entrepreneurial ecosystem is.
Well, an ecosystem, as we all know, is just a collection of different parties that are working together in an area. And what an entrepreneurial ecosystem does is it builds support services for entrepreneurs, but it also removes barriers, governmental regulations, things like that. And they all work together to really promote the success of startups and new businesses. A lot of times when you get into an area, it's not as business friendly. The good news is that Forsyth County is a very business friendly area. But what we want to be able to do is to see a lot more grow your own there in that area. We have a lot of folks that want to move to Forsyth County, live there. It's growing like crazy from that standpoint, but we want to also boost up the commercial side through new businesses and things like that.
One of the quotes you used in your presentation was, "A rising tide lifts all boats." That was a quote by John F. Kennedy. What did you mean by that?
Well, a lot of times when you start talking about trying to help start up new businesses, people get a little nervous because they're worried about the competition that might be coming in. Things along those lines. But what we have to realize that every time we start a new business, there's a ripple effect to that that allows new services to be required. And so it not only will create a new service within the area, but it'll also create a requirement for other businesses to supply as well. So if I'm outside of that one business, I'll see my demand go up simply because people are coming there, being there, and being a part of the community.
And when you described the ecosystem, there needs to be a balance. What are what's a possible danger of too much growth or rapid growth? Like considering in Forsyth County, like right now we have so many new homes going up, people moving there. What could be a danger?
Well, from the entrepreneurial standpoint, having new businesses does create some traffic, but it doesn't create near as much traffic as new residential growth there. So it doesn't really impact it too bad. Now, if we get really large companies that get a lot of action. Well, it is gonna cause some situations, but that's part of the whole idea of the ecosystem. How do I prepare for that growth? How do I do those kind of things? So if we're really pushing to start many new businesses, is the infrastructure there to support that? And that's the question we have to ask before we start going crazy.
Okay. What other than the Started Up Conference, which is going to be October 4th, what is next for you in UNG?
Well, I have one thing that's coming up that's going to be fairly interesting, but I was able to get a grant to do some entrepreneurship training, some lean startup training. Typically, in our area, is pretty spread out. So trying to get a class together of the correct number of folks to really make a class worthwhile is difficult without them having to drive a good ways. So what I'm doing is I'm putting together a online type of training for a lean startup that hopefully will create an environment that feels like everybody's in the classroom together, even though they're separated in different places.
What is your take on online learning? Because I was a teacher for a long time before we moved here, and we were just getting into online learning. And I personally was not for it, but I taught theater and public speaking, and it's kind of hard to do that online. What's your opinion?
Well, that's the reason I'm trying this way that I'm doing it now, because I really feel like having the interaction is important. So if it's a typical online training course, you interact in a group environment somewhat, but it's really not as interactive with the professor or the teacher and the others that are there. You have small groups that get together and talk, but really, I think the big advantage is how do you create that interaction that you would normally get with a face-to-face online as much as you can. And that's the experiment that I'm about to go into.
Well, you'll have to come back on the show and tell us how that works out.
Okay, thanks.
So how can our audience get in touch with you and find out more about the Startup Conference?
They can email me at ruben.boling, R-U-B-E-N, .BOLING at UNG.edu. You can also find us on Facebook, our Facebook and Twitter. Our Twitter address is CFNG underscore UNG. The Facebook is CFNG is the group, Center for the Future in North Georgia is the group that's associated with that. Those are the main ways.
Okay. And if you didn't get all that, this information from Ruben will be posted on our website where you can go back and listen to the show. Okay, Ruben, I'm going to come back to you when we have a roundtable discussion. But right now, I want to get to Jimmy Lane. Jimmy is the Vice President of Development at the Cumming Forsyth County Chamber of Commerce. Welcome, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Okay. Describe your job for us, Jimmy. What do you do?
Well, I would have to say in a nutshell, I'm responsible for making sure that the chamber's funded. So my team, for lack of a better term, they're the account managers for our 1,000-plus members, and we have those folks invest a lot of money into us every single year to do really cool, neat things in the community, and my team's responsible for that.
So you're the money.
I guess so. You could say that.
Okay. Well, tell us about the Cumming Forsyth Chamber.
Well, kind of a 1,000-foot view. We're a membership-based organization. We're a private, nonprofit, non-government. I always like to tell people that organization. We have about 1,000 members currently. What's really neat about that is 80% are in Forsyth County, but 20% are spread, are outside of Forsyth, and some spread even as many as six different states. So
wow,
we're not tied down to any geographic area. But we, you know, we do a lot of things in the community. There's a joke in our industry that if you met one chamber, you met one chamber, because we are all very different. And, you know, we're in a category that has not only the chamber aspect, but we are the economic developer for the community as well as the tourism entity as well.
And what are some benefits of being a member of the chamber?
Well, it all depends. I mean, everybody has something different, some kind of value they expect out of their membership. You know, we hear a lot of people tell us, you know, we've got a great product, we got a great service. People would use me, but I don't know how to let them know on a shoestring budget. So we help them, you know, the small business guys, just let people know they exist when they can, you know, go out there and raise their hand and say, I'm here, I want to be a resource when I'm needed. Some other benefits, you know, like a Northside Hospital, for example, they don't invest an astronomical amount of money into us to send patients to them. But what they do that for is because if we're not the major driver behind, we have a huge hand in most quality of life initiatives that have to do with economic development, tourism, transportation, parks and rec, school system, partnerships with those guys. And they know if we keep it a great place to live and work, people are going to be attracted to be there. And if they were like me, they go and have twins and they stay at that hospital and they stay there for 2 weeks. So.
And you do have two gorgeous twins.
Well, thank you.
Give us an example of how you, when you talked about development and quality of life, can you give us an example of how you specifically affected quality of life?
Well, sure. So, you know, if you've been up 400 recently, you see that there is a lot of changes, some good changes. It'd be a little headache for a little while, but, you know, our executive team, a couple years said, you know, there is a real problem with Georgia 400. And if you can't get your employees here, or they can't get home, or you can't get your product or service, you know, from your location out, you know, people aren't going to want to be here. They're going to leave this community and they're going to go somewhere else. And that is a big deal and a big negative for a community. So we spent a lot of time and resources, you know, working with our county commissioners and out lobbying to make sure that when that vote came up for that transportation bond, that it was passed, because the widening of Georgia 400 is a big deal. That is a quality of life issue. I know when we leave here, there'll be a little bit of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how bad it is, will depend on how good my night is. So,
True. I want to ask you, I was reading the Forsyth Herald this morning, and I saw that the commissioners in Forsyth County are considering a golf cart community ordinance. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know the details on it.
What do you think about having a golf cart community? They even suggested creating, adding lanes in some roads for the golf carts. What do you think of that? Good idea, bad idea?
I don't know. I mean, I've lived in a community that everybody had a golf cart and you could go to the local, you know, store or the local restaurant. And it seemed to be a pretty neat thing for us when we were there. But every community is a little different.
Yeah, I think it'd be kind of neat, actually, to, you know, have a little special lane for golf carts. And I just think it'd be kind of interesting to have. Okay, tell us about some other events that happened at the Chamber. Like, for example, your networking lunches, which I enjoy very much.
Yeah, so we do about 125 events a year. You know, and you have, you know, everything from the one-man handyman working out of his basement up to a larger entity like a hospital or someone like that. You have to, and everything in between, you have to offer a buffet of opportunity, as we call it. So with those 125 or so events, we break them up into four different categories. We do traditional networking, like the power networking lunch that you talked about, and we'll talk more about that in a second. Education classes, we found out a long time ago that they don't necessarily teach you how to be a business owner. You know, as you're growing up or in school, unless you have that mentorship, I mean, there are some programs for that, but there are resources out there. We bring in like folks from UNG. We got a great partnership with them to come in and teach on different topics. We do community events, you know, the fun stuff, the 5K, 10K runs, parades and fireworks display, so on and so forth. And then the fourth category, one that I think I'm the most excited about, is what I like to call our quality of life information sessions. These are your state of the county address, your economic forecast breakfast, your transportation summit. That's one that's coming up actually October the 5th. And we're going to talk a little bit about what is going on in Forsyth County right now, which is amazing to me. There are 289 miles of road being worked on, or plans to be worked on. That is a lot. And we want to make sure that our you know, our residents and especially our business leaders are ultra informed, so they can make good business decisions one way or the other. We want to keep them ultra informed. So, you mentioned the power networking lunch. That's a neat one we started back in April of 2010. And I remember because it was my baby. It was something that I started.
Your idea.
Yeah. And we would have two or three or four or five people show up sometimes, 20 the next week. And it's just a great opportunity for you to, you know, do some casual networking, eat some good food, give your 30-second commercial and do some casual networking again. You're constantly reminding people that you exist and that you're a resource when you're needed. And now it's very rarely that we're under 50 people. So we've had as many as 75 at the event. So sometimes it can get a little hairy and depending on the location we're at and the noise level, but I think it's overall just a dynamite event.
Right. The one I went to was at the barbecue place, The Collections.
Jim and Nick's.
Jim and Nick's, yeah. And I really liked the 30-second commercial because that was the very first one I attended, and I didn't know a soul. But after going around the room and everybody, you know, giving their 30-second commercial, you know, I felt much better. And,
right.
You know, well informed about who was in the chamber. I think that's a good idea you had.
Yeah.
Okay. And how can our audience get in touch with you and if they want to become a member of the chamber?
Sure. You can always go to our site. We've got all of our contact information on there. You can reach me at jlane@comingforsythechamber.org or feel free to call our main line and ask for me at 770-887-6461. Or you can also connect with us on Facebook. We do have our Facebook page. We're still working on all the social media stuff and how that's going to work, but it's something that we've definitely put forth a lot of effort into the last 18 months or so.
Okay, and any upcoming events you'd like to announce?
Yeah, I'm really excited about two. We've got one October 1st called Play at the Park, which is the first Saturday of the month. This is an event that we partnered with Parks and Rec. And I believe they've done something similar to this for 8 or 9 years or so. But we partnered with them this year through our tourism department. And we're going to have 6 hot air balloons out there. They're going to be doing tethered rides. We're going to have a ton of vendors. We've got, I think it's 18 food trucks that are going to be out there. It'll be at Fowler Park. It'll start bright and early in the morning at 9 o'clock. And it'll go until 9 o'clock at night or so. We're expecting 10,000 people. My kids will be there. My family will be there. So come out, enjoy it. I'm really excited about that. And then I mentioned briefly the Transportation Summit on October 5th. That'll be at the Forsyth Conference Center at 11:30. And we'll have the Georgia DOT there and, you know, a handful of other representatives just to keep people informed about what's going on and what's going to be happening in the future and what's to be expected.
Okay, and what's the date on Play at the Park?
Play at the Park is October 1st, and the Transportation Summit is October 5th.
And do we need to RSVP or just show up?
You can just show up.
Okay, cool. Sounds nice. I'm going to come back to you, Jimmy, but right now I want to introduce Michael Ellerman. Michael is an entrepreneur in the area of business networking. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Okay, Michael, I was reading your bio and I was trying to figure out how to describe you. You're kind of like a jack of all trades. You describe yourself as the $35 entrepreneur. What do you mean by that?
Well, over the years, I've been in the business networking arena for a very, very long time, and I've learned how to do a lot of things on my own because a lot of people are, in fact, in that same very position. And today, I have really whittled away at things, and it's everything that I do is, in fact, $35 or less. But I am an a la carte person, which means things can add up. But that $35 does make it a whole lot easier for people to embrace and move themselves forward in simple ways without breaking the bank. I've always said of myself, my tagline has been, I am your one or two steps closer from where you are now to where you want to be. Just what if I'm right?
Okay.
And so I create that question.
And so if I'm a customer, a client, what do I receive for $35?
Well, it depends what you're looking for. The sweet spot today is something that I started creating at the beginning of the year, which is a digital business card. And there's a lot of digital business cards out there, but they're all app-oriented. So if I have an app with a digital business card and you have an app with a digital business card, there's no guarantee that they will work together. So what I've done is create a simple way to actually use your business card, put links into it that actually work to whatever you want people to know about you and to learn about you and to connect with you, including call, click to call and click to email. And it can be shared by email or by text. And there is no app required, so it will work on virtually any phone, any tablet, any computer, bar none.
And you don't have to have any kind of special app, and you don't have to worry about it interfering with another app.
That's absolutely correct.
And how did you come up with this idea? Why do we need a digital business card?
Well, first of all, the obvious reason is we'll never be without a business card. I run across people all the time that say, oh, I forgot my card today, or I ran out, or I'm getting some new ones made. So if you have a version of the digital business card that is on or accessible by your phone, then you are never without a business card. You can send it by email or text message to anyone from anywhere at any time. But the real driving force behind the creation of this digital business card is the fact that we network with other people, and we expect those other people to actually network and share us and be us on our behalf in their world. But the problem is most of those people that we're expecting to network for us do not have a tool or a way to actually accomplish that task. They do not have our business card with them. They rarely have our contact information with them. But if I'm networking with you and I say, Alex, would you mind keeping my digital business card on your phone or online somewhere that's easily accessible by you? If you meet someone that you think that I should know or needs to know me or what you would like to refer to me, just send them my business card, because you can do that by text or by email. And then just call me. Michael, I just shared you with so-and-so, and here's their information, follow up. So it gives them a way to actually share you, because if you don't, they probably won't. And if you don't ask, they probably won't.
Okay. And Michael, you've been in networking for a long time. In business, what are some things that hinder people in their networking process?
I think one big thing is the fact that they are reluctant to talk to one another. We meet people all the time, but yet it is very difficult to break that first barrier of conversation. And I believe that we're all in this boat together. And the more we talk to one another, the more we help one another, the more we consider what we have to offer and what they have to offer, I think that the distance between have and have not becomes much, much closer when we have those conversations.
And Michael, how can our audience find you and purchase your digital business cards?
Well, I am all over the internet. You mentioned you Googled Ruben over here. The last time I Googled myself, I took up the first 10 pages of Google. but that being said,
I'm going to have to go check that out now and see what it is.
Well, my phone number is 404-322-8978. You can call me or you can text me. My last name is spelled Eilerman, Eilerman, and you can find me at eilerman.us with all kinds of interesting information.
And I'm assuming for you to do this, you have to meet with the person. You can't just do this online or...
Well, it can be done online, but they would have to physically send me their business card, because I do scan it and I size it and make it work in the platform that I've created. Few people actually know how to use their real scanner, so it's just best to spend a stamp in an envelope and send it to me. But everything can be done over the internet.
Okay, great. Thanks, Michael. Okay, now I'd like to open up or start on our roundtable discussion. But first, gentlemen, do you have any question for each other before we get started on our topic? No. No questions.
Ultrally informed.
Okay. Well, I'd like to talk about business specifically in Cumming and in Forsyth County. Business, as we said earlier, is booming. A lot of people are moving to the area. Why do you think it's becoming such a popular place to move, live, and work? Anyone?
Well, I grew up there, so I can I can talk a little bit about that.
Okay. But, native.
Yeah, I'm one of those. I'm one of the rare ones that are still there from early on. But I think the really some of the driving force there is the first of all, they've done a fantastic job with the park system. There is no doubt about that. I mean, it is first class. In addition to that, the educational system is very impressive as well, and what they do and how they do it. So I think from that standpoint, it becomes a place that people want to live, and so therefore it drives also relocation of businesses and things like that to that location as well, because that's where everybody wants to live. And so I think that's part of it. And then just I know 400 is not the best avenue to drive down, but you know, it's worth the trip to get there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, you have low property taxes. You know, crime rates are low. Ruben talked about school systems are school notch. The parks and rec are top notch. And, you know, that attracts people to be there. I mean, healthcare is a big deal in Forsyth County. I mean, that, it depends on the time that you look, you know, at the numbers, but healthcare and manufacturing, you know, they compete every year of the number one employer in terms of just sheer number of people. So, I mean, you got top notch healthcare as well. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there. You know, very affluent, and you know, it attracts people, and they're there, and they want to be there. And you know, it's tough to slow that growth. The only way that you can do that is make it a bad place to be, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's such a pretty area too. You've got the mountains, then of course, you know, you mentioned the parks. Do you know, Jimmy, how many parks we have in Forsyth County?
I
know it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Well, there's different ones too, because you can probably count the large ones, but just the trails and everything else that are associated with it are just outstanding,
right?
From that standpoint, I'd like to add one other thing too, because sometimes Forsyth County doesn't get noted for this, but I know where I live, it's a very diverse county as well. I mean, just about every nationality lives around me, so it's a from that standpoint, you get a good experience and a good exposure to, you know, the world, really.
Rich in culture.
Yeah, it was neat. In 2008, 2009, 2010, when we had the economic downturn, it allowed us to kind of step back and see who we are and what we were as a community. And at the time, I don't remember the exact number, but now we were shocked to realize, to find out that there's over 70 international companies that call Forsyth County home.
70?
Or their North American headquarters.
Oh. Wow.
So that's really neat. It's a good thing, and something that we can talk about when we are recruiting other companies through our economic development team to come here and call Forsyth County home.
Are you worried that we're going to have too much growth? I mean, my husband and I, where we live, they're building three subdivisions, like right around each other, just, you know, hundreds of homes. And we're kind of starting to worry about the traffic. what do you guys think? They're both point. If you can't see this, but they're both, Jimmy and Ruben are pointing to each other to go. So I'm going to see who's going to be the brave one to go.
Well, the reality is we're not going to stop that growth unless we make it a bad place to live and work. And that's not what we are as an organization, as a Chamber of Commerce. We're there to make sure that the quality of life you enjoy now is at the worst the same in 10 years, you know, or 15 or 20 years. We want to make it better. So, you know, one of the things that we're doing as an organization, we understand that when you have too much residential growth, it gets the tax digest out of whack. So we are making an effort and a huge push to make sure that we're bringing in enough companies so they continue to balance out the tax digest. Because, you know, if you don't do that, you can only do a couple of different things, and that's either raise taxes or cut services, and nobody wants either one
right.
of those.
Well, and I'd like to add to that as well. If we grow the businesses in the county, then people don't have to travel near as far to get to work. So to the extent that we can create our own there and bring in other international headquarters and other companies into the county, then it allows us to have a shorter commute and maybe reduce some of that travel time.
True. Okay, I want to ask this question about education. You made me think of this, Ruben, when you were talking about the school systems here, and of course you at UNG. What do you think about a curriculum starting in middle school, high school, focusing on how to run a business? Because, you know, like you met somebody here mentioned, you know, they don't teach you how to run a business. Why couldn't that be a class starting in middle school, high school?
Well, I'm not sure about the middle schools, but I know that the high schools have that in place, because the Started Up conference that we're having, that we're bringing in high school students, those are students that are in entrepreneurship clubs and business clubs associated with it. I think we have some of the largest ones around. We have FBLA, and then DECA, I think West and South have some of the largest in the country, if not in the state.
Right. Now, are these clubs, or are these like an actual class, like, you know, taught in the classroom, or is this like an after-school kind of club?
Yeah, most of those are clubs, but there are some classes associated with it, as far as I believe there are, anyway. I haven't been back to high school. My son's graduated a while, so I'm not sure of that, but I know that there is excitement around that portion of it.
Right. Tell us a little bit more about the kid that started the business in middle school. How old was he?
Well, I don't know. How old are you in middle school?
Well, I guess you're 11, 12, 13.
Yeah. He is. He started it then, and he recently graduated from high school. He took a gap year to grow his business, and he just started this fall at Georgia Tech. So he's on his way to even more things than we can possibly believe. But I was talking with him, and he was going back and forth between downtown and Alpharetta to run his business. So he runs his business out of Alpharetta, and then he goes to school in downtown. So he's going back and forth to do that. You know, you don't find a lot of folks that will spend that much energy, first of all, and be that dedicated and that organized. But he is just a super smart guy, and just a cool person.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to be seeing and hearing from him in the future.
Yeah, he's a good one. And I tell everybody this, he is one of those people that you talk with, and when you walk away, you feel better.
Mm.
So he makes people better too. So that's a quality that is very good to have.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to share? Jimmy, were you going to say something? Nope. Okay. Well, I want to thank you guys for being here today. This is our second episode of Business Radio X, Cumming Forsyth Business Radio X. And I'm trying to get a studio in Cumming. So if you're interested in being a sponsor, being a guest on the show, please get in touch with me. And if your business is doing something exciting and you would like to be featured on Cumming Forsyth Business Radio X, reach out to me on the contact page at businessradiox.com. All right, my friends, thank you for listening. I'm Alex Gossett-Shiflett, your hostess with the mostest. And as always, I'm wondering who will be my next guest on Business Radio X.